Imagine you started from nothing. You were just average Joe here, zero followers on TikTok, started making content, figured out I'm moving from North Carolina to move to LA. Well, you think you would survive?
See, if there's a will, there's a way.
Welcome, guys. Welcome back to Mike for Success. To wintertime. I know this has been a while since I posted a video, or I've actually posted a couple videos, but it's been a long time since I've made another video. And we got Jay Torres in the house today.
What's going on, guys?
A content creator, 5 million on TikTok, and growing on every other social platform from internationally around the world, and made his way to the States and made his way to LA here. But we're going to have a really fun show. Aren't we?
Definitely.
Looking forward to a fun show.
I mean, you got the funny guy right here.
I mean, I hope you're funny. We got to make it entertaining.
Right? I make people laugh, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's hope I'm not one of those other TikTok guys.
The one guest that couldn't explain anything. But
right.
I think Jay's going to be a good one. Welcome, guys, to Redondo, California. We're back here at Club Dub. We got Lexi and Bailey next to us. Hopefully, they're not going to bark. As usual, but you guys know this is a puppy podcast, so one time tonight when a bird or someone comes around, the dogs are going to bark. So please do in mind where we might have some technical difficulties with the dogs.
Which we don't mind.
Yeah, which we don't mind. Right. But tonight's show is about Jay Torres. I met through my good friend Gilbert Sosa. Shout out to Gilbert.
Shout out to Gilbert.
Yep.
What's going on?
And Gilbert, if you guys want to check out Gilbert's show, it's up here, up in the bottom top. I don't know where I'm going to put it, somewhere in the editing. But down below, we got Gilbert's show talking about directing and creating content groups and creating a superhero in content creation right here. Jay, who we're going to talk about. This is one of his... I don't know how to say. You don't say clients. You say
talent.
One of his talents. Yeah, we're in a different industry. Got to name them different stuff. But before we start, we're going to talk about our sponsor, My Whistlebox. My Whistlebox is a doubly encrypted service that allows you to keep your private information safe and exchange information securely between parties. My Whistlebox offers you e-signatures, privacy notes, whistle pages, a ton of other cool features, and a better alternative than email. So if you're using email to send or receive private information, stop and start using My Whistlebox. Sign up today to get started with your free account. No payment required. There's no reason to not start today. Happy whistle. All right. Well, we're going to start the show right now. So welcome, Jay. Welcome to Mike for Success.
Thank you for having me.
If people don't know who you are, tell everyone where you're from, your upbringing. You're originally not from the States, but...
Not from the States. Well, I'm Jay Torres. My actual name is Jose. It's just, this is my celebrity name. You know, you got to change your name so you don't have to put your real identity out there.
What does your mom call you?
Kike.
Ah, okay. Kike, so you got three names.
Yeah, no. It's because my middle name is Enrique.
Okay.
Yeah, so a nickname for Enrique is Kike in Spanish, and that's how she calls me. And yeah, I don't like that name. Well, I don't like both of my names because they're pretty common, bro. So Jay, you know, it's common here in the States, but in Latin America, it's like something different. So that's what I like about Jay. Well, I was born in Honduras. I grew up there for about 7 years. Then I moved to Brazil. Because my dad is from there. 2 years in Brazil, didn't learn enough Portuguese to defend myself. And after that, I've been in the States since I was 12.
Do you know some Portuguese?
Wait. No. The math is not adding up.
How old are you right now, Jay?
I'm 22. I just turned 22 last year.
I know some people don't like to say their age on this for some strange reason. I'm 24, 22, and together... Yeah, okay, we'll just move on. Not math problem. I'm trying to...
Well, yeah, I moved here to the States, education purposes, just to have a better future, you know.
Right.
The education in Latin America is not the best. So here, that's the main reason why I came. Other things came in the equation, which is content creation, sports, love, all that.
Ah,
but we can get into that later in the podcast. Yeah.
So how about we get in from the very beginning? You're from Honduras. What part of Honduras?
Tegucigalpa, the capital city.
I can't even say that, but whatever he just said. What is it like growing up there? You grew up there when up until you were seven, you said?
Seven, eight.
Do you have a brief memory on your upbringing and what it was like living there?
It's just the main thing I remember from there is the weather. The capital city is between the mountains, so we got a pretty fresh weather. Kind of how it feels right now here in LA right now. And the gastronomy as well. I like the food from Honduras. We got a lot of varieties, which includes fried chicken, and that's my favorite food. So anything that has fried chicken in it, I'll eat it.
Is that Honduras' main cuisine?
It's one of the main ones. Fried chicken with green plantains. That's my favorite dish from Honduras, which is pollo con tajadas, and it's delicious, bro. Ah. It's delicious, yeah.
Did you play sports growing up there? Big football or soccer, we like to say here?
I tried, but I was the little fat kid in the classroom. So the biggest sport in Honduras is soccer, right? Football, that's how we call it. That's what we call it down there. And you know, always the chubby kid has to go in the goal. So I was the goalkeeper growing up. I didn't like it, but I drag it down the years. So I played in high school, and I played in college 1 year. That's what helped me get into college.
There you go. We're going to talk about college.
Yeah. But soccer was in my life since I was little, even when I didn't like it at first.
Wow. Well, you went from Honduras to an airplane away over to Charlotte, North Carolina, home of my cousins are actually from Asheville, so I'm a big North Carolina fan. Great state. You have some snow. I know that was probably getting used to having some snow there, but what was it like growing up in Charlotte, your upbringing, getting into sports, getting into content creation, and also going to school there? You still go to school there right now to UNC Charlotte?
Charlotte, yeah.
So, you know, they make the March Madness tournament every now and then, but
every now and then.
Take it away. What's it like living in North Carolina, Charlotte, and going to college out there?
Well, see, Charlotte is just, it's just a typical American city, I would say. It's not a huge city, but it's not a small town as well. It's just the perfect size for whoever wants to, you know, do that, the typical lifestyle. Like if you want to go to school, then you want to go to college, and then you want to have a life, create a family, Charlotte is the best place to go. Plus it's cheap if we get to compare it to LA, which is crazy, bro. But it was nice. I mean, I like it. There's not a lot of fun stuff to do over there apart from outdoor, because I'm a very outdoor person. So I like camping. I like hiking and all that. And North Carolina is perfect for that since we have so many mountains around it. But usually Friday night, if we didn't hit a party with the friends, it was just like a Walmart parking lot. And that was basically it. But it's fun. It's fun. It's good memories in that parking lot.
How'd you get into content creation being in North Carolina? Where did the whole beginning start of content creation? Is it started at school? Did it start with your mother telling you to go pick up a camera and start making some stuff? Oof.
Well, actually, no one taught me. I mean, growing up, I used to watch this YouTuber. His name is Germán Garmendia. He used to make, he was the biggest YouTuber in Latin America. He got up to 40-something million subscribers back in 2012. So every Friday, coming from school, he would post a video. I would watch it all the time. And he was the main one that inspired me to do this type of videos. I was like, when I grow up, I want to do those videos. I want to create content like him. And it was so hard because I didn't have a nice phone. I had a Huawei.
Hey, that's something.
Dude, but the graphics in there, like looking back to those videos, it was like looking at a Minecraft gameplay.
Hey, like I said, look at iPhones today. You can make I mean, all my vlogs are shot on my iPhone. Mm-hmm. Quality is better than ever,
it's
but
way better.
Okay, back then iPhone quality wasn't that good, but right. Still. Yeah. Content is content.
So, every time they ask me, when did I start it? I always say the pandemic 2019. That's when it happened, right? 2019 or 2020?
2019 into 2020.
Around yep. There, yeah. Yeah, that's the past, bro. We don't care
about
it.
I was graduating when that happened. Got my last semester taken away.
Oof. Yeah, that was my first year of college. So I took the gap year in that one. And I graduated 2019. So I still had like the huge graduation, all the ceremony, and it was nice. So I say that I started in the pandemic, but when I look back to my Facebook, because I've had Facebook since 2009. And I look back into the videos I used to post back then, and it was content, bro. Like, I look back at them, and it was like mini vlogs. I was storytelling and everything.
Did you have a goal when you were younger? Or you were just making stuff with your friends? Did you have a friend you made content with? Or was it just you in your room
it
and
was just
having
me.
A good time?
It was just me. I would put the Huawei right in front of the window. I didn't even have a tripod. So I would put it in the window and I would just talk to the camera. Get like 2 likes on Facebook. But hey, I mean.
Have you looked back on those videos?
I actually have a video reacting to one of those videos in my YouTube channel.
Does it make you cringe? Or are you kind of actually proud of yourself or look how far you've came?
It doesn't make me cringe. It's just, it actually shows me that I've been the same since I was little.
So you haven't changed. You're just the same person.
The same facial expressions, the same way I speak. The only thing that has changed is my voice. Like, looking back then, my voice was a little, you know.
Not as deep. Not that there's the sexier Latino accent.
But, you know.
Dude, I wish I had a voice like you that was so deep. I'd be an opera singer right now.
It comes in clutch, you know. When you don't have the looks, then the voice helps you a lot.
Hey, you have the lady magnet voice. So
lady magnet.
All the ladies out there are sliding in. Man, your voice so sexy.
Hey. But I mean, when I officially declared myself as a content creator was December 2020. When I started blowing up on TikTok, I feel like TikTok is just like a tool that has helped every content creator throughout this year. So I started posting just videos from my gallery, honestly, on TikTok. They would get 3,000 views, 4,000 views. And then I started creating videos comparing life in Latin America and here in the United States. And those were the ones that hit. Like, every video I would post about those, it would be like 10, 20 million. And it was like that throughout a whole month. And that's when I was like, okay,
maybe this is something you want to do.
Yeah, I'm a content creator now, so let's just keep feeding the people the videos they like.
And for people that don't know, from the American side, that probably don't understand Spanish and can't understand you, you'd say you're more a vloggy mixed with comedy mixed with pop culture talk content creator.
Well, throughout, I've been creating content since 2020, like officially. So it's been 3 years. And throughout those 3 years, I've been evolving, basically. I started with skits. Like, you know, I would record myself. Then it was another character. I would put them together and that was it. From there, I moved into monologues. It would be like just me holding the phone. I talk, make people laugh for like 20 seconds. And that was it, which is like the easiest way because no editing. You just cut them and add the title and they go. And from there, but I was never satisfied with that type of content. So I moved into vlogging, which is a
huge fan of that,
which is
just the editing part of it is a pain in the butt, but it's fun to look back on.
Oh, tell me about it. Like, I do 1 minute vlogs and it stresses me out sometimes because the cutting part, it's just the cutting part. I feel like that's the most frustrating part of the editing, cutting everything where I'm speaking, what I want to do. Well, So that's the content I like to do. I feel satisfied doing, but it has a whole process behind it. I have to plan it out. I have to do something entertaining. I have to showcase something interesting, and I have to invest in it because they're not. Right. It's not like the monologues that I can just turn on the phone and record myself. And that one, I actually have to go places. I have to pay for this, pay for that. But it's worth it at the end of the day.
Right. So for kids wanting to know, how do you come up with your ideas? Because your ideas, you have three different variations of content that you can make. I mean, the vlog format, it's not really an idea. It's more your day in a life, and you got to capture your day in a life and your moment and talking about it. Mm-hmm. You have your skits, which is a full, like you're filming a movie. You're creating something from scratch and maybe go over it 1,500 times. Mm-hmm. And you got your kind of like your YouTube shorts and your TikTok shorts that, you know, it just kind of half-assed in a way, but come out really good. You put maybe 5 minutes into it and it blew up.
Right.
What is your way of coming up with ideas that kids can learn from?
When I started, it was basically just life experiences. It was just me with conversations with my dad, with my mom, and just make it funny. That's the hard part, trying to find a way to make a situation funny. It's hard, but it's not impossible, though.
Right.
You can make any situation funny if you know the right wording, the right actions, and put them all together. So that's for the skits. It was life experiences. For the monologues, it was more day-to-day experiences, like, oh, what he just did is funny, the way he walks is funny, or you know, when you're walking with your friend on the sidewalk and he pushes you away, well, that's, you can make that funny. So I just make that on the spot. I see the action, I try to figure it out and put it into a video and bring it to life.
Right.
And for the vlogs, then that's the hardest part. That's of my content, the vlogs are the hardest part because I have to do a whole process behind it. I have to do a storyline in between. I have to find, like I said, an interesting situation to do. Because, yes, I can do a day in the life, which I've done, like, two or three. You know, when I don't have any ideas, I'm like, okay, I'll do this one.
Right.
But It's a whole process behind it. The story, writing the whole script, because you're explaining the whole scenario, whatever you're doing, and you have to make it interesting, you have to make it funny, and you have to make it catchy for the people watching. And that's the hard part. But like I said, that's the content that I enjoy doing.
It's the content. And I think the next hardest thing is editing your content. Mm-hmm. I've been in the car with Bossy and Mac while Gilbert was there. Actually, was I with you? You guys are editing on your phones. Take the process on editing your content. Me, myself, I use DaVinci Pro, and I also use Premiere Pro. I have or DaVinci Resolve and Premiere Pro. What do you use for your content? Because a lot of people use TikTok itself. They use YouTube itself to create their content. Do you have editing software?
Yeah, I do. When it comes to understanding apps like TikTok, it's just, I'm like an old man, bro. Like, I never understood how to edit on TikTok, how to use these effects, these filters. So TikTok, for the editing part, stays apart. And I started editing in iMovie from my computer. But then I was like, hey, I'm putting too much effort into this. I don't think it's worth it. Putting the video into the computer, then editing, then passing it on to the, back to the phone. So I use this app called Video Leap.
I've heard of it. I see advertisements all the time.
Dude, it's the one I recommend to everyone. It's perfect. It's like having an editing software, but on your phone. And it's amazing. It has all the tools you need.
Is there some features you can explain to people on what you use? Your main features that you like about it that help you make your videos?
Transitions. Like, I don't like putting effects or anything like that on the transitions. I like them natural, you know. I like when you just put the two videos together and it happens. And that's the thing that Video Leap lets you, that you can zoom in all the way and you can cut right at the exact point where you want the transition to happen. And you can do that in the computer, but on the phone, it's just way easier for me. Like, I can edit anywhere. You know, carrying a laptop is
the future of editing videos. You can probably take a poll on all the TikTok stars and YouTube stars, and 70% of them are editing on phones.
Yeah.
How insane is that? Like, 70% of people are editing on their phone.
It's crazy.
You said that 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't edit on my phone because I didn't learn that way. I have no patience. And and you get text messages every five seconds. It's just like, text message. Oh, I'm editing something. Someone calls. Like, I just can't do it. Mm-hmm. Lock myself in a room and just edit, go away. But dude, the process of editing on your phone, I mean, they...
Yeah, and at the end of the day, it's whatever you're more comfortable with.
Right.
Like, I'm more comfortable doing it from my phone than a computer. I don't like sitting in the computer, typing, moving the mouse and all that. I just like having the phone and doing it with my fingers. It's just way easier for me, and I can do it anywhere. And I tried doing it on an iPad, but it was too big for me, so I was like, no, going back to the phone.
Right.
And this, yeah.
And from the phone, you've gifted yourself a talent that has made millions of people love your work, and from... millions of people loving his work and going viral and getting a foundation of a family and people that care about you revolves around some people from the States and LA looking for talent to join content houses or join management groups. And Gilbert Sosa, one of my best friends, found a needle in the haystack out in Honduras, North Carolina. And we're going to talk about Gilbert had a plan of creating content Latino groups. And I know we talked a lot about that on his podcast, but... Mm-hmm. He found you. He wanted you to join. Where did you guys meet? Where did Gilbert find you? You say you met in Texas at the Texas house.
He's a Houstonian. That's how they called him. He's from Houston, you know. So it's the way he found me. It's a funny way. So I had 2 million followers when he found me. He was creating a content house called Texas House. That was his first project.
AKA Texas House. I can't say
it's just Texas in Spanish, Texas in Spanish. So he was creating that group. And they were 2 weeks into the project, I think. Their first video blows up, gets more than 1 million views. It comes into my For You page. I comment because I've never seen anything like that. You know, that's when all the content houses were blowing up. And that was a full Latino content house. And I was like, damn, that's crazy. And I commented. I was like, hey, I'm all for it. Like, I support this and all that. Next thing you know, on Instagram, I check my DM. Hey, do you want to join?
Dude, that's like, so Gilbert. If any of you don't know Gilbert is the sweetest, hardworking guy you'll ever know in this industry. And he's that guy. If you message, like what Gary Vee says, if you message him, he will respond. If you have talent behind you, he will respond. He's not that guy that sees two followers, you have talent, but won't talk to you because you're not big. He will actually, you know, recruit you and see potential and actually want to talk to you. And
guide you through, because he's been through all that. He started as a content creator, and now he's more behind the scenes.
Right.
And he's got the whole experience you need to know.
Right. So explain to everyone what was a house? Like, what was the process of a day in a life and Gilbert's vision for, can you explain the people that you worked with and the people you lived with?
Well, yeah. I mean, till this day, I still talk to all of them. They're amazing people. They became one of my closest friends. And looking back to that, I feel like I took the whole situation for granted because, like I said, that's when he discovered me. So I wasn't really into the social media world. That's when I saw these as a hobby, as something to do with, like, you know, for a side.
Right.
Like, literally, when he told me to join the content house, I had to leave work. I had to tell him, bro, I had to work at least for 2 more weeks so I can get some money going on so I can sustain myself in Texas, because I wasn't generating anything from social media back then. And it's because I took it for granted, because like I said, and back then I wasn't really used to all that. I wasn't used to interacting with other creators, which now I would love to. Like, now, like, there's so many times I talk back to myself and I'm like, damn.
Like, I'm in a room with 10 other creators that are creating 10 different things, and I didn't take advantage of realizing this is a one-time opportunity. I get 10 people in the same room that want to work together, that want to build something together, mm-hmm. and help each other out. And you probably,
and you're new.
You're like, I want to make my own stuff, but
exactly. Like, I remember I used to struggle so much because I wanted to do videos with them, but I would never get the ideas going. And it's crazy because it was a house full of creative people, and it was diversity. It wasn't not only comedy. We had Spanglish content, which is you know, a mix of Spanish and English. We had fashion, lifestyle, music. And we also have this guy that knows how to do, he's a gymnastic, so he does all that crazy stuff like backflips and all that. And like, man, I just took all that for granted. But all happens for a reason. I mean, from there, I got to meet Gilbert, and that's when we had the conversation that I needed management, and we evolved from that.
Right. And speaking of management, Gilbert is an English Latino manager, and it's rare to find in this industry where same background, you get to manage, you know, especially from hometowns and families where everyone came from, especially speaking Spanish. Mm-hmm. Gilbert, who speaks English and Spanish, is now managing a group of kids that also speak English and Spanish, but predominantly make content in Spanish. What's it like working with a manager that actually understands your vision and your ideas? Because you could be working with someone that doesn't speak Spanish and doesn't understand the Latino market and how to, you know, make content for them.
It's amazing. I mean, just like I said before, he's been in the content creation as well. So he knows how this works in Latin America and in the US market as well. What to say in front of the camera and what not to say, what brands like, what they don't like. And that's something that has helped me a lot because, you know, I was pretty young. I said some stupid stuff in front of the camera. And once you post something in the internet, it's just...
It's there forever.
It's public. It's there forever, even if I take it down. And he has helped me a lot through that. And just having someone that understands your language, I feel like it's something very important because like I said, in this market where the people don't know your language, that where they only speak English, it's just... it's very beneficial to have the Hispanic manager because he speaks the language the brand speak, and he speaks the language that I make the content in. So it's good to have him as the middleman, so I don't have to, because sometimes I just don't know what to tell the brands.
So Remus is a brand new song that you came out with.
My new single, yeah.
Your new single. Do you want to tell everyone the purpose of why you started doing music and why you came up with the idea of creating a Latino rap song?
Oof. Well, you know, music has always been in my life. My sister is actually a musician as well. Well, she's a lot of things, but one of those is a musician, and she actually has songs out. And my first time actually singing in front of people was with my sister. She's the one that pushed me, that gave me that push I needed. So music has always been in my life. If you scroll down in my TikTok page, you can see a couple of singing videos I have in there. Not the best ones, not the ones I'm proud of, but they're still out there. And it's something I really wanted to do since I was little, music. And I always wanted to be this Latino superstar, filling up stadiums in Colombia or somewhere in South America. But, you know, we're still working in that dream. Everything is, you know, little steps.
That's amazing. What was the process on finding a producer to produce that song? Was it difficult, or was Gilbert came to the rescue to have all the connections in the world?
Well, you know, he's the guy that knows the guy. So he knows a lot of people. So the first, before Rimas, I actually released a cover song, which was a mix of a normal song with, and I added the rap part. And that's what Gilbert helped me with. He helped me with finding a producer to do it, finding the right price to do it, finding the dates. He put everything together. I just had to show up, record, and leave. But for this one, for Rimas, we go back to May from this year. This guy, this producer called, his name is Claudio Mata. He's the one that helped me bring Rimas to life. He texted me, he shoot me a DM on Instagram. You know, Instagram is always clutch when it comes to connections. He's like, bro, I'm from LA. I like your work. Whenever you're here, we should work together. And I was like, yeah, bro, let's do it. But I never thought it was actually going to happen, you know? And then I come to LA. He's like, I showed him a text. I'm like, bro, I'm in LA. Let's do something. He's like, bro, I'm in France. I'm in the middle town of France working. But whenever I go back, I'll let you know. I was here for 2 weeks. I came to LA in August for 2 weeks. And we're December 23rd, and I'm still here. Officially moved to LA, so
welcome to Los Angeles.
Welcome to Los
Angeles. Home of the homeless people and home of the most beautiful beaches in the world and the worst traffic in the world.
The worst traffic.
Took you an hour and 20 minutes to get here, and he's not even that far from here. So
took me an hour and 20 minutes to get here. It's crazy.
I feel your pain. And try doing that every single day.
The thing is that, look, I'm not even used to the traffic here in LA because I don't drive. My car is still in the driveway back in North Carolina.
Right.
Yeah, so I haven't brought my car here. So the way I moved around, it's Uber. But the main source of transportation is the metro. I love the train. We don't have a train like this in North Carolina. So when I saw it, I was like,
"Durr!" You like the metro system?
I like the metro
system. It only goes like two areas, Universal. It doesn't come over here.
You see, that's how you know. That's how you know he never uses the metro. That takes you to Santa Monica, Long Beach. That takes you to Pasadena. Everywhere, bro. Everywhere.
Okay, you are right. You are right.
Yeah, it's just knowing the places, knowing the map.
I think LA people, that's the last thing they want to do is take the metro. Like New York, that's the thing to do.
That's the thing to do.
East Coast, it's the thing to do. Here, you just can't get to the suburbs. That's why no one uses it. If they built a rail line going to the suburbs between the Calabasas side, out here up in the beaches and Orange County, it makes sense. I mean, there is a train system that goes to Anaheim and Orange County, but it's just like it gets you right next to Angel Stadium and the Ducks, and that's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. But I mean, usually when I go to a place that is pretty far from my house, what I do is that I take the train and I go the closest that I can get to that location. And from there, I take the Uber. Like if
people are wondering why this keeps jumping from scene to scene, our battery keeps dying for some strange reason. It's plugged in, but I guess it doesn't like Jay and I's show right now.
Yeah, it's not liking it.
It stopped three times. So we're just jumping through this like a little leapfrog.
Yeah.
But let's get in.
We're getting little breaks though. That's the good thing.
But you know, actually this can go into something. Uh-huh. Leapfrogging your way. You leapfrog your way from Honduras to North Carolina to LA to now the content creation world of the universe right here.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to give advice for people that are stuck in Honduras, stuck in Argentina and Brazil and all over that area, what advice would you give them on moving here? Do you, after now being here for a little bit, I know you're stationed here for a little bit now and you're getting your stuff together,
mm-hmm.
but you've had some help with Gilbert and a group around you that kind of figured it out together.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give for someone that doesn't have everything that you have but still wants to make the leap to LA and live here?
Take small steps. If LA is the main goal, I would say just go to a smaller town that is cheaper in rent, groceries, gas. Not like LA over here. My first impression is everything is too expensive here. It's crazy. And I came to LA October from last year. That was my first time coming to LA. Loved it. I was like, damn, it's like GTA, the video game.
GTA, the video game.
Yeah. But I was like, I'm never moving here. It's too expensive. But, you know, a year later, I'm here.
Do you have a car?
I do, but in North Carolina.
So you don't have a car here.
I don't have a car here.
What do you do to get around?
Uber and Metro, the train.
Have you looked at the pricing in terms of Ubering and using the metro system and trains? Like, if you had a car, would it be cheaper with the gas prices being $450 and $550 and takes $80 to $100 to fill up your gas tank?
Yeah, well, I did the math already. I did the math, and I don't use Uber a lot. I don't use it. That's not the main source of transportation I have. The main one is the train, which is $1.75 per ride, so it's perfect. Right. And it's very convenient because I'm in a very centric area here in LA. And everything I need to do, the train goes right in front of it. So everything I do on the daily, like going to the gym, going grocery shopping, I can just take the train a couple of stations after. My destination is right there. So I've been saving a lot on that.
So being someone that works in entertainment and media, it is possible. It is possible to come here with not that big of a budget under your belt and be able to transport around this giant city. Because people don't realize how big LA actually is. Like, we're in the South Bay right now, which is right next to LAX. LAX is not near Hollywood, and Hollywood is not near your, it's kind of near downtown LA, and downtown LA is nowhere near Orange County. So
it's kind of like a triangle. Like, everything is like so far apart from each
other.
It's
the sea of red. If you look on the maps during high hour, it is a sea of red of traffic. So
luckily I get to avoid all that by the train.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like right now I was stuck, like coming here, it's probably like a 30-minute drive without a single car outside on the streets. But right now it was an hour and 20 minutes. So I was stuck in that Uber for that long. And it's, you know, it gets awkward when you guys are not talking and you're just like, they're like, and then he asks a question out of nowhere, you answer, and then another awkward silence. And it goes on like that. But I had to deal with that for an hour and 20 minutes.
You just have to be a good Uber passenger, 5 stars.
Who?
You. That's what you have to do. You just have to talk to them and have fun and be generous.
Dude, no.
Hopefully you don't die.
That's why I love LA Ubers. Like, they just like talking for some reason.
Because you're stuck in traffic.
That's the only way to get by. Yeah.
Really?
By talking. But I like LA Ubers. They're really nice. The ones I've encountered with, they're really nice. They like to have a nice conversation. They give you advice as where to go, where not to go, where to spend your money on, what not to. It's, you know, it's nice.
Yeah.
I've made a couple friends. I've actually followed a couple on Instagram. Yeah.
I've told a lot of people about the show. When I was traveling in San Francisco, I told the guy about this because one of the boxers I've had on, he was like, wait, I know him. One of my nephew's boxes, and he checked it out. So it's a good way to network.
Right.
It's a good network connection.
Uber is the best place to connect with other people.
Right.
And like going back to the question you asked me about the moving here in LA, if you want to become a content creator, one thing I like about LA is that everyone has like a goal, you know. It's not like a small town in North Carolina that they just want to have like the normal lifestyle, which is create a family, have a job, have a degree and all that. Over here, if you talk to someone, oh, I want to become a singer. Oh, I want to do vlogs on YouTube. Oh, I want to get in the management area. Everyone has a goal and it has a vision. And that's what I like, because you can sit in a room and you can have a total different conversation with the people sitting around you.
Right.
Just because everyone has a different vision. And back in North Carolina, that's something I struggle with. I would tell people like the things I like, the things I do, and they would look at me and give me that awkward reaction, you know, like, oh, you do videos? Like, you record yourself outside? And over here, it's like a normal thing. Like, and that's something that...
it's kind of normal, kind of.
I mean,
still get that person that looks at you in the face, like, dude, get the camera out. Like,
right.
Stop.
But
here's another vlogger.
I feel like it's because they're used to it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but in North Carolina, you don't see that.
Yeah, it's rare. I vlogged there. Rare, I actually made a whole travel video in Asheville, and I went into the Waffle House. I went into the Waffle House, and I did a little vlog for my dad, and... My friends from the East Coast laughed, like, you've never been in a Waffle House? I'm like, no, I have. It's just, we don't have them on the West Coast, really. It's just, like, once in a blue moon, you see a Waffle House. I don't know.
Yeah. I've actually only seen one here in California, I think, I got super excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really unique location. But what about the people from Honduras? Any friends or family people that are back there, if you had cousins that want to make the jump here to make content? Do you, after now being here and being a Latin person that has seen the market here, has seen your content actually grow. I mean, California is kind of like Mexico. It is Mexico. Just put it. It's Mexico. There's too many Latino speaking Spanish people here.
Everywhere you go, they speak Spanish. Every business you go.
Yeah, like that's why you basically have to learn Spanish here because everyone speaks it. Do you recommend them coming here for the content world if they want to make content? Or have you seen you don't need to come here, it's too expensive, maybe stay in Honduras and just focus on this type of creation? Like, what do you recommend from now making the jump?
Well, it's definitely whatever you have to do. Like I say, some creators, their whole content is inside the house, so they really don't need like to move into another city to create the content. In my situation, I moved here because I wanted to do vloggings. In North Carolina, we don't have a lot of interesting things to do apart from doing outdoor activities. And over here, like, you have so many things. Like, I could literally do a whole vlog about the metro system here. And I could find a way to make it interesting just because the whole city gives me all those,
yeah,
all those opportunities. And this is, in my opinion, LA is the best place for creators in the whole United States.
So you recommend it for the people in South America and all over to make the jump to come here?
If you're willing to sacrifice a lot of you know, family time, a lot of living space.
Right.
Because living space here, it's crazy.
Well, I don't think it's that. See, the biggest worry I have for my international friends, and they've told me with their friends that want to make the jump. Mm-hmm. I have friends in Israel that want to make the jump here, friends in France and all over, and it's the money. It's LA, money. How expensive this market is. You want to come here because of the opportunity, but it's, you just can't financially survive here without already coming from something. It's hard to come here from nothing and start something. Like, you came from very good success to mm-hmm. come here. Imagine you started from nothing. You were just average Joe here, zero followers on TikTok, started making content, figured out I'm moving from North Carolina to move to LA.
Well,
do you think you would survive?
See, I go by the saying that goes like if there's a will, there's a way. And like I said, if you really want it, you have to sacrifice so many stuff. If you have to get a part-time job here, then go ahead and do it. I mean, there's always time for everything. There's more time than life. And if you have to sacrifice a little bit of your time by working at a part-time job to make some extra money to invest in yourself and in your videos, then go ahead and do it. I mean, don't ever be embarrassed of working out there.
Right.
So the money will come if you look for it.
I highly, high five right there. There we
go. Yeah, I mean,
work hard. Just work your butt off.
Exactly. If you're sitting down, then nothing is going to happen, you know. You have to go out there and look for it. And that's something I take from my family because the first person from my family that moved here to the United States is my uncle. He was 17. We had no family. He literally made his own way. And now he owns a really nice, successful construction company. And he started from nothing. And that goes back to the saying that if there's a will, there's a way. He had the vision and he just worked his ass off to make it happen.
That's what you have to do in this market. What I've noticed is way too competitive being here. And the people that aren't faking it, that are trying to make it in terms of working their butt off every day, are the ones that make it. If you fake it in this market, you can agree. You've probably seen some fake people. You can dress. Anyone can go and buy some ripped jeans, some boots, and Gucci and Louis Vuitton. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
You can, like Gilbert and I have had talks. You can easily point out someone that is faking it over someone that's actually made it. Because the made it people are actually very humble.
Right.
They're down to earth. They have their small groups. The faking people are the ones showboating around. I'm here. Look at this. And I get it if you're new to this city, but you can easily see it. You can see the people that are humble about what their work and work mm-hmm. really hard over the people that are, you know, jumping on the gaming stage to get an award like in Seinfeld to make a video out of it.
Right.
That's great to make in a video, but you're getting booted out of here in 2 seconds. You have no talent. You're just doing something constructive to make yourself famous. And that's what I think a lot of people take pride in here is doing your hard work and, you know, getting into that point where you are respected.
Right.
Because I think the biggest thing in this market is being respected.
Mm-hmm.
And you're already there. You are respected by your peers. You're respected by Gilbert. You're respected by the content group around you where you're just not a content creator that makes stuff and let's blow shit up and hopefully we can get a million views. It's like Mr. Beast. You're making videos. You think it's going to make a kid on the other side of the world be super happy, be emotional maybe, you know, and enjoy your videos to make them laugh or see a potential in a big brother or, you know, a cousin or, you know, something they can look up to. I think that's the content you're making, which is great. And I think you can just keep on building.
Thank
you. To build an empire.
Yeah. And something I tell people that are, you know, getting into this market is you always got to stay humble because you depend on the people. Without the people, you're no one. That's why you gotta, you always gotta stick to the person that started making those videos, because I've seen a lot of people change. LA changes people a lot, but you can't let the city influence you in a bad way.
I think Gilbert can do a whole monologue on that. We've had too many talks about being yourself. Gilbert and I met. Funny story. Listen to his podcast. I'll explain it here. Gilbert and I met actually at a influencer Big Mike's beach house party. A good friend of mine, Paul Butcher, who played Dustin on Zoe 101. He's neighbors to this giant party that they rented out this million-dollar house in Malibu. And Gilbert and I were invited because Gilbert was friends with Paul Butcher also. And we met. And I'm not one of those kids where I played sports growing up. I played college. I have friends that are in the entertainment field. But I wasn't one of those friends that are like, I want to be friends with you because you're a million followers. You're 500,000 followers. That's not me. It's all about being normal, because at the time, I wasn't really making a lot of content. I was just a kid that played baseball. Mm-hmm. And Gilbert and I met because I was the only kid at that party that looked at him normal, talked to him normal. I had no clue about his following, no clue about what he did. And afterwards, fast forward, we're best friends.
Exactly.
Of course, I figured out what he did. It took me a little while, but he helped me out making my content, me kickstarting my stuff. I helped him with some advice he had by moving to LA. You know, we just got a friendship. And he even told me, you were the most normal person at this party. You didn't want to stick a camera into my face. You didn't even know who I was. You had no clue I had a million followers. And I love that. I love the natural of just being yourself and being normal.
Exactly.
So.
And it's crazy how just the followers, they change the perspective of who you are to society, you know? Because I can walk into a room right now as how I'm dressed, that I dress the same all the time.
Yeah.
And they can just look at me and they, oh, he's a normal guy. And then they look at my following, they're, oh, those videos, he got this many followers. And that's when they come to you. And that's what you're trying to avoid.
It's status.
Right,
status. And there's really no such thing as status. Just be yourself.
Exactly.
End of the day, in 20 years, when you're not making content, no one's going to remember you, really.
Exactly.
Unless you made a difference and actually was humble about it.
And that's the main goal that all the creators should have. Use the influence you have and use the content you're making, and build a bridge into another thing you want to do in the future. In my scenario, I want to get into acting. I want to get into music. I'm using the influence I have. I'm using the content I have to creating a bridge into that market.
And I think, you said you want to get into acting?
Yeah.
Have you started doing acting stuff?
Man, we're in LA, of course.
There you go.
Yeah, I was a casino owner just last week.
Ah.
Yeah.
How was that process?
It was good. It was good. It was It was right here in LA. I just had one scene. I was coming out of my office telling the guy that I couldn't give him more credit. You know, I needed to act tough, which is hard for me because I'm just, you know,
a little puppy dog.
I just don't look like the tough guy. And they were like, let your beard grow so you can look even tougher. I'm like, bro, I can't grow a beard. But I didn't tell him that. I had to, you know, just keep it low. And everything went well. We saw the footage we got. It went amazing.
Yeah.
And with Gilbert, we did a short film in Houston back in March. That went well too. It was a whole amazing experience. We did it with the guys from Compa.
Yeah.
It was just the whole experience of being in front of the camera is amazing to me. And it's crazy everything that goes behind it.
Well, the thing is, the process has been easy for you to transition to because you are in front of the camera.
Right.
The only difference is someone's telling you what to do, not you're telling yourself, I want to make this and this is how I'm writing it. You're now reading other people's language and having to reciprocate it and act it at the same time, which is a little tricky.
Mm-hmm.
But Gilbert, and I know I have some friends that went from content creation to acting. It's an easier process. And I suggest any of you kids out there that are listening, if you want to get into acting, start by sticking a camera in front of your face and start talking. And if you want to be an on-air host, if you want to be a news anchor, stick the camera up, make a show like this, and practice talking to people and have that red light on and be normal.
Right.
Just be yourself. The more you're yourself in the moment, the better your acting's going to be because you're not freaking out.
And that's how it starts in the acting world as well. It's you in front of the phone because you got to audition for the role.
Yeah.
And you just got to get used to being comfortable in front of the camera.
Right.
But the acting part, I did struggle a little bit being in front of, you know, the camera and having all the production people behind it. It's, you know, it's different when you're in your room by yourself and you have the phone right there and you can, like, you feel comfortable by messing up.
Yeah.
And now you have that pressure that if you mess up, the production is going to get mad. So you're just like, you know.
Yeah.
It's a bit different, but it definitely helps a lot.
Right. And speaking of that, your goals. What are your goals for, what are we, 2023 now?
Welcome 2023.
To almost 2023, but 2022 right now, in about a couple of weeks, 2023. What are your goals for next year? I assume it's acting. I assume it's music.
Yeah, of course. I have goals in all the markets I'm doing. So for the music, I do want to release more singles and probably like 3-4 this year, and then work on the EP by the end of the year. For the acting, just getting more roles, getting more experience, hopefully a show, hopefully a movie. And for the content creation, I really want to do, you know, every person that started on TikTok, they make their way to YouTube. And that's the way I'm working on. I did YouTube for a couple months last year, but I'm a very perfectionist person when it comes to videos. And I wasn't satisfied with the vlogs I was releasing. And now that I have more free time, because I was working back then, now that I have more free time, now that I have the capital, I got me better equipment. Mm-hmm. I got me a friend that is willing to help me be the cameraman. So I really want to do vlogs, but kind of like, you know.
What's the structure of the vlogs you want?
Storytelling, talking to the camera as well, and kind of like documentary. Like, I just want to mix all those three things together and make like a, like, I just don't want to be the average YouTuber, you know.
Right.
Which there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
But I just want to be myself, because something I've realized is that when they get in front of the camera, they get super loud, they do jumps, they do all that.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. But I just want to be myself. I just want to show people who I am, the things I do, in a very
just a day in a life and chill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a very cinematic way, you know.
The cinematic stuff is going to be where your creativity comes from.
Where it comes from. So you're going to see a lot of B-roll in there.
That means you need to know how to shoot B-roll.
No.
Or get better at shooting B-roll.
Yeah, no. But hopefully it's going to be really good, because my friend, he's a videographer, photographer, so he's willing to help me. He's the one that I shoot the video for Rimas, actually. And so we're going to work on that.
Yeah.
We're going to work on that and see where it takes us. I mean, I have the whole vision board in my apartment, so I'm very excited. And we're just going to kill it in 2023, man.
Dude, you're going to kill it.
Hell yeah.
Hey, if you want to make some vlogs, join on the way.
I've actually seen your videos.
Dude, my videos are the same process as yours.
Yeah.
My whole thought process was the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys don't know, I make vlogs. I don't even call it vlogs. I call them moments. They skip around because it's moments that happen in my life. But mm-hmm. Gilbert and I, actually a long time ago when I started it, Gilbert actually told me, he's like, I don't know why you don't make a YouTube channel. I said, I mean, I wanted to, I just didn't know what to make. I hated the YouTubers that did dumb stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to be one of those guys. But I love like Jan Olsen, or John Olsen, however you want to say his name. Mm-hmm. He's from Norway. And
I know.
He makes content that is just a day in his life. Of course, he lives a luxury lifestyle, which is awesome to see. But he has a videographer that follows him around. And Benny, who makes the most insane cinematic B-roll. It just gets you super excited seeing a day in the life of living in Monte Carlo and Norway and all over where they travel and the car junkie side.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about the same thing. I'm like, I have a group of friends, like everyone that's come on this podcast is a friend of mine. Zero really networking in terms of reaching out to people, but more everyone is a friend. Everyone's still a friend of a friend. And I wanted to start something where I'm documenting everything that's happening between our groups of friends and moments that happen in my life at the same time that happened in your life mm-hmm. and my friend Zach's life and my mom and my sister and just little tiny things where it's not everyday vlogging, but it's moment vlogging.
Moment.
Mm-hmm. Pick a moment. Like, here, this is a moment. We vlogged a little before this. Well, now tomorrow, I mean, I'm doing a Laker game tomorrow from sports production, and a lot of my content is through the sports side. I love traveling. I want to showcase what it's like traveling in the sports production world and the TV industry, where I can go from one location to the next, not show really in the truck what I do, but show, welcome to the stadium. Maybe get into, I'm in the city afterwards, and like, let's go to the top cities. I was in Ann Arbor a couple weeks ago, and I went to a deli shop. I haven't posted that vlog, but it's the moments like that where mm-hmm. I can look back on. And yes, you talked about the videos weren't that good that maybe you made. Some of my videos from the beginning, actually, in my opinion, aren't that good. But I'm making it all myself. You might have some help. But the fact I can look back and say, this was a moment that I had and I posted, and this was my best friend Zachary Gordon's premiere of Diary of a Wimpy Kid at my house during COVID, when I haven't seen him in about 6 months. Whoa. That was a moment. It wasn't the best vlog, but it was a moment I got to witness him showing his premiere with all his best friends in my backyard that I put on because I wanted to do something special for a best friend that, you know, we weren't able to have a premiere. So why not do a premiere in your backyard for your friend? You set up a little movie screen.
You're just documenting the whole
situation. I'm just documenting it. It's not about showing off. It's about Zach and I can look back now in our group of friends, Natalie, Tasha, and Zach, and Gall, and everyone in it, and say, this is us when we were 21 years old, 22, when Zach was filming this. And it came out, and look how excited he is. He's wearing his little gas mask on his face, saying he doesn't want to touch anyone because of COVID, which is totally fine. But he came out outside to see his friends, and it was a moment. Mm-hmm. Now we can look back in 50 years and be like, look at that moment. It's cool. Content's not the best, but it's still a moment.
Right.
And I don't know. I suggest you make it in the same way and be humble about it, because I think a lot of kids out there really like it. They really like the humbleness of just a day in a life.
Right.
Every day is different. Mm-hmm. You're in a world now where everything's different.
Mm-hmm.
You can go from a premiere one day to Gilbert taking you to a model shoot to the next day you're with shooting a podcast. Now you're eating a bowl of cereal tomorrow. You're playing soccer and watching a FIFA World Cup.
Exactly.
Might not be interesting, but it's interesting to other people.
That's the main concept that revolves my vlogs. I like to do simple stuff, interesting, because I hate when people say, when my followers say, oh, I have a boring life. No, bro, you just don't do things right. Like, there's so many things to do out there without spending a single dime. Like, I made a vlog going to Santa Monica just watching the sunset. It did amazing. People loved it. They're like, oh, I wish I had his life. I literally just got on the train and went to the beach, watched the sunset.
Yeah.
What's so complicated about it? Why can't you do that?
Do you have a drone?
I don't.
You need to get a drone.
I've seen
FPV drone, and
I know you got a drone. I've seen your videos. Like,
it just makes it better. Drone stuff is fun. Making a video where you can go up into the mountains, especially here, Malibu Mountains and the Santa Monica Mountains, and fly your drone around where you actually can, and not in LA where everything is guarded, and just be peaceful. You shoot a video up there. People dream about going through the Malibu Santa Monica Mountains. To be honest, it's just mountains that catch on fire every 3 years, but the fact is, you're sitting up there in maybe a cloudy day above the clouds and flying around is a moment.
Right.
It's peaceful.
No, let me tell you, like people in Honduras, they look at this city and they're like, dang, they see it as something impossible.
Yeah. And, or go film in Honduras. Go back home.
That's definitely a
plan. No one has a lot of content in Honduras. It's not a lot of creators there.
See, there's something I like about TikTok that has opened so many opportunities for the Honduran creators. Before that, I could name like one or two creators from Honduras, but now they're slowly coming out. They're slowly growing, and it's crazy. It has helped them a lot. And I think they're full-time creators now.
Well, you're on your way too.
On the way.
On your way. So we're going to leave it on the last question. The last question, as I say to every guest, is throw it back to your 13-year-old self. You're out of Honduras. You're in North Carolina.
North Carolina.
What would you tell your 13-year-old self? Anything different or anything positive on getting to where you're at right now? Would you change anything, or would you tell yourself a couple of things that you would change?
I mean, I feel like everything was a process to get to the point I am right now. So I wouldn't change everything, but something I would tell to my old self, start creating content. Like, I would make those videos and I would post them on Facebook, but it wasn't really like content creation. It was just like a moment. Like, I would just record myself, talk in front of the camera, post it, and that. But I wish I started younger. I started doing videos when I was 20. So kind of late in life. And I just wish I started when I was 12, 13, so I could see all that process and all the evolution in the content and in myself, in my voice, in my face, everything. And that's the only thing I would tell my younger self. Because I've been the same person since I was younger. I've been very, you know, I've never been shy like that. I've always been comfortable in front of the camera. I was a drama kid in church, so so you know, I was doing acting when I was little, so I was never shy. So there's nothing I would change apart from that.
Yeah, I've had multiple guests say, buy yourself that camera, that first camera, or you just record on your phone. I guess at the time, I mean, we were younger, technology wasn't as good, but just today's world, you 13-year-olds listening and under, or a little older, whatever it is, your phone, use your phone.
Invest as well.
Yeah.
Invest on yourself. If it takes you $100 to create a video, just do it. Like, that money is going to come back as long as you're investing on something productive. You go outside on a Friday night, you spend $100 on what? On dinner and a couple drinks?
Yeah.
And those $100, you can invest them in a video, in an interesting video. And that's working on yourself, on the career, and on the content as well.
Save yourself $5, go to the grocery store, make your food for $5 less than you need to, use those $5 to save up for the thing you want.
Life in LA.
Yep. Think outside the box. Right. Think like you're poor. That's what I say. Think like you're poor and you will do well. Find a way to do it.
LA has taught me so many budgeting hacks. It's crazy. It's crazy, but you know, it's the whole different lifestyle that I live here than I had in North Carolina. But it has helped me a lot to evolve as a person. I feel like I'm more mature now than how I was in North Carolina, because over there, yes, I would pay rent, but it was nothing compared to here. And now every time I go out, I'm like, do I really want that drink? Do I really want that shirt? Like, I actually think about it now. Like, oh, $30 on a black shirt. That's crazy.
Hey, 120 rule. You make $100, take 20 of it and put it in the bank.
Right. I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. So you really made 80.
80.
But with taxes in LA, you know, now you're really down to 40. So.
LA. As hectic as it is, I love it.
So let's get into the last part, the fun questions. And this is the best part. Fun question number one. What is your favorite family recipe that your mom makes food, yourself, your grandma? What brings you home and why?
What brings me home? Soup.
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 What's the name of the soup and what's in it?
They just call it beef soup in Spanish.
Beef soup?
Sopa de res. It's just the soup. It has a handful of vegetables, a lot of potatoes, carrots, the beef, and I just like to put a ton of hot sauce in it and lemon, and I
burn your mouth up.
And yeah, I just like it like that. And every time I no one makes soup like my mom, I'll tell you that, or my grandma. And I found this really small restaurant in downtown LA that makes it similar to it, pretty close to it. And as soon as I had it, do you know that Ratatouille scene where he goes back? It was literally that moment, like that. As soon as I tasted the soup, I was like, ooh, it's taking me back to the cornfields and Indian Trail, North Carolina.
Your little Ratatouille up there making everything.
Everything. I love soups, even when it's hot. You know, Hispanic moms have this thing about...
Was it your mom's recipe? Your dad, your grandma, dad's?
What? Well, it was passed on. Passed down.
The Torres generation pipeline of soup.
Yeah, it was my grandma. My grandma, you know, she's like up here.
You should make your own soup.
Dude, I do. I do, actually, but it's not the best.
If you can get this guy to 1 million subscribers on YouTube, he'll make everyone a bowl of soup.
Hey, I actually have some cooking videos on TikTok.
There you go.
So go and check them out, and I'm not that bad. I didn't burn the house down.
Well, there you go. Mr. Soup Boy here.
Mr. Soup Boy.
Let's get into, who was your first celebrity crush? And it's probably someone Latino who I don't know, so spill it out.
Oh, Salma Hayek.
Who's that?
She's in the American market. She's an actress, Mexican actress.
Oh,
I'll give you an easier one. Shakira.
Oh.
Lord have mercy, till this day, I love that woman. I'm telling you, like, she's...
Do you shake it like her?
I don't, but if I have her in front, I'll definitely try. But my mom was a really big fan of Shakira, so she had all the CDs. You know, it wasn't like now is everything is digital. Back then, you know, VHS.
Right.
I'm 22, but I made it to the VHS era, so... My mom had a couple of VHS CDs from Shakira, and ever since I saw her, I was like, damn, she's beautiful.
What about her Super Bowl? Did you like it?
Everything she does is amazing.
10 out of 10?
10 out of 10.
Better than this past Super Bowl in LA?
I mean, everything she does is beautiful. Ah, and she's single now.
Shakira. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
So she's single, so I'm out there.
All right, well... Last question, which is very interesting.
Mm.
You had to make the ultimate sandwich. And some fan came up to you and said, make me your specialty sandwich at home.
Whoa.
What is it? What do you put in your sandwich? Are you plain, a nice tuna sandwich, a nice turkey sandwich? Are you a hot sauce, pickles, pico de gallo mixed with jalapenos all in a hot bun of brown sugar and God knows what else you put in there?
I've never been a picky eater. So whatever you put in front of me, I'll eat it. And there's this... combo that I found recently living in a budget as well, and I just love it, bro. It's just this. So I put the bread, I put some jalapenos in there, raw onion, goat cheese, some ketchup, and I eat it like that. I know it sounds disgusting, but no, you gotta try it, bro. Yeah. But the whole combo, you just gotta try it. I'm telling you. And
next time you come on here, you're bringing the sandwich. And we got Bossy and Gilbert on here, and Bossy's gonna eat it.
No, he's gonna hate it. He is a picky eater. He is a picky eater, but I'm not. So that's my go-to sandwich. Of course, I like my PB&J as well. I love peanut butter, bro.
Mine's a peanut butter jelly sandwich.
Yeah, I love
peanut butter. Easy, quick. Actually, peanut butter banana sandwich.
Banana.
Can't go wrong with that.
That's my shake. Yeah. No, I had this bad habit that I would wake up like at 2, 3 a.m. in the morning, and I would go to the kitchen, just eat peanut butter and a glass of milk on the side.
I can't. Ugh, gross.
You can't do that?
I need peanut butter with jelly or something.
No, but I only like
it's too thick. It gets like stuck in your mouth.
I only like the crunchy one, the one that has
the crunchy.
Yeah.
Crunchy butter.
Yeah, crunchy butter. That's the one I like.
Yeah. I like the smooth one.
No, I mean, I respect that, but I like to feel the little peanuts. Yeah. You know?
The little peanuts.
Yeah.
Well, that includes our show, our three-stop show. Stopped like four times. You guys watching this, it probably doesn't look like that. And if you've missed some juicy stuff halfway through, blame me not realizing my little battery wasn't plugged in.
Because we were talking for like a good 10 minutes.
Yeah, we had a 10-minute. We missed a whole chunk. So we got the audio of it. Maybe I'll just clip it off an audio and send it to him.
Well, we definitely got some interesting stuff.
Yeah, maybe I'll put an audio for him But there's no video for that. But you guys don't know that.
You can still listen to the sexy Latino future superstar.
Ah.
Voice.
The fuck?
Shakira.
Yeah, I can't even talk like that. Too low. But anyways, thanks, Jay, for coming on Mike for Success. For everyone that wants to follow you and doesn't know all your followings, so what is your followings?
It's Jay Torres. It changes. I don't have the same username. That's something Gilbert hates about me, that I don't have the same username in all my socials.
You got to stick to one, buddy.
Yeah, I got to stick to one. But the first one was very complicated. It was Jay Torres with a lot of S's at the end. So I had to move from that. So if you guys want to follow me on Instagram, it's Jay Torres with a Z instead of an S.
There you go.
More simple.
You can follow you on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music.
Yeah, we're in that as well.
Anyone else?
Yeah. Amazon Music.
You can Shazam his song and find him on Shazam.
Yeah, I'm everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah, that's the point. That's
probably
the
Parler app out there. I don't know. Twitter. How many other social medias
only
are there?
OnlyFans. We're working on the OnlyFans right now.
We'll see about that.
We'll see if it works.
OnlyFans with your voice. I hope it's not anything else.
Of course. Yeah.
But pleasure, everyone, for listening to this episode.
Thank you.
You guys know where to check it out. Check it out on YouTube. Check it out. You guys are watching on YouTube right now if you're watching this. You're listening to it on Spotify and Apple and all the other stuff. Don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button. Don't forget to check out my other channel, Michael Raiden's vlogs. And don't forget to check out his vlogs that are going to be coming out too. And we'll see you guys later.
Later.
Peace, guys.
Thank you.